Amen. You guys can have a seat. I was just about to say good morning. Not good morning. Good evening. Merry Christmas Eve to everybody. If I haven't met you yet, my name is Denise. I'm part of the Dwelling team here. And we are just honored that we can all gather together tonight just to take a breath. I don't know about you guys, but December always feels really like crazy. And it's kind of fitting that, you know, we're celebrating the fact that God entered our world into the chaos so that we could have rest and peace and wholeness. So tonight I hope that you can just kind of catch your breath before the rest of the crazy for Christmas comes. So just a few things I wanted to share with you guys tonight. We do meet every Sunday here at 10 o'clock for services. However, do not come this upcoming Sunday on the 28th, because we will not be here, and I would hate for you to show up and be like, cool, cool, cool. So no service on the 28th. However, we will start back up again the first Sunday of January. Really excited. We're going to kick off the year with a series looking at just big questions, heavy questions that we are wrestling with in life and seeing what Scripture says about them, what God says about them. So we do hope that you will come back, join us in January, but enjoy just a Sunday to rest with family and to pursue the things of God together as a family that morning too. So the next thing I was going to share was please eat all the cookies in the back so that my children don't. We have hot cider, we have tea, cocoa, cookies from Dirty Dough here in Carson. So help yourself, make yourselves at home. And I don't know if there's any other mothers out there. Every year I say all I want for Christmas is one good family photo, please. So feel free. We got a couple spots you can take pictures as a family too before you leave tonight. But I am going to invite my family up. We have been doing through the Advent season different families sharing the different themes of Advent like peace and joy and love. And tonight we get to finally light the Christ candle. So this is Michael and Emery and Kaysen, and we're going to share about what Jesus means to us.
All right. Am I on? There we go. Yeah. So I'm going to have my kids. I actually told them to write something down this week. They took a lot of time on this, and they even doodled on their paper, you know, because that's what we do as kids. So we're going to start with Kaysen. He's going to read what Christ means to him, and then my daughter Emery will go as well.
Jesus is important to me because he died on the cross for our sins and loves us so much. It mattered so much because he would later die on the cross for our sins and make it so there's no more sadness in the world. Christmas means to me, aside from presents, spending time with my family and celebrating Jesus' birth.
There you go. All right.
Jesus is important to me because, for three reasons. One, because he brought life into this world. Two, because he cares and provides for us all. And three, because he gave me my family. He came to the earth, mattered so much because it's what started this world, and without that, none of us would be here. Aside from presents, Christmas means a lot to me because I like spending time with my family, but also sharing the love of Jesus with others. I also like getting time off of school.
That's real.
Awesome. And I want to read to everybody just something from a book on Advent. Today is the ultimate, or tomorrow, I should say, is the ultimate Advent when Jesus came to earth for us. And we'll have a second Advent as well where he comes back to right all the wrongs. And I just want to read this to everybody this evening that I thought was really good. It says, our Christian life is a long practice in waiting. Waiting for God to meet us, to grow us, to save us, and ultimately waiting for Jesus to set all things right. We value, if not worship, efficiency, productivity, punctuality, and convenience, but we dwell in an impatient culture, don't we? And we collectively avoid the hard lessons found in waiting. And I think there's a lot of truth to that, and ultimately, anticipating who Jesus is and what he has come to do, that he sees every single one of us. And we light the Christ candle this evening, the middle candle, to kind of complete the Advent candles as we have anticipated this coming in Christmas. And so I'm going to go ahead and do that. And And then we're going to pray, and then we're going to go into our time in the message.
All right, pray with me. God, thank you that you do whatever is necessary to meet us. God, that you chase after us, you pursue us, that you entered into our world in the flesh, and you didn't escape the hardships of life. You endured it just as we do. And so thank you that you are our great high priest, that we can come to you with everything we are carrying. We are so grateful today as we stop and pause and just remember the fact that you entered our world in a very real, tangible way. God, may we know you more. May we experience you more. May we see more of your goodness in our life, God, and recognize the ways that you are working. And we just love you so much. It's in your name we pray. Amen.
Amen. Thank you, fam. All right. Well, we're going to dive into the word a little bit tonight. If you are willing and able, if you will stand with me, we read out of God's word. And when we do that, we stand just out of respect for God's word and kind of getting us, get the blood flowing a little bit, you know, and as we are sitting and listening this, I almost said this morning too, I'm not going to do it. And we are going to be in Matthew chapter 1, verses 18 to 21. And it says this. Now the birth of Jesus Christ took place in this way. When his mother Mary had been betrothed to Joseph, before they came together, she was found to be with child from the Holy Spirit. And her husband Joseph, being a just man and unwilling to put her to shame, resolved to divorce her quietly. But as he considered these things, behold, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream, saying, Joseph, son of David, do not fear to take Mary as your wife, for that which is conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. She will bear a son, and you shall call his name Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. All right, you can have a seat. Thank you for doing that. So I want to start off with a question this evening. How many of you are planners? Raise your hand if you're a planner. Like some, and there's different levels to planning. I get it. My wife is a planner. She is like bullet point checklists for everything, right? There's checklists for the checklist type of thing. And I don't know, like, if you wish you had a certain type of superhero power, but my wife, if she was a superhero, she would be the super planner. Okay, that's just what she'd be. I like to think that I have some planning qualities to me, but I'm nothing compared to that. And I love that about her. If you got your Christmas shopping done by the end of September, let me tell you, you're a planner. If you're still not done, why are you here? No, I'm just kidding. You're probably not as much of a planner compared to those other types of people. But no matter where you are tonight, whether you're a planner or not, we are glad you're here with us. Whenever life goes in a different direction, I often find that if we are a planner, it can be very jolting and off-kiltering to us, can it? Many of us are those types of planners that will, you know, not only plan out the week, we have our weekly calendar, we also have our monthly calendar, and we also have the yearly calendar. If you have beyond a year, I want to talk to you later, but we have those things that we plan out, right? Our weekly and our monthly planners. And sometimes, almost inevitably, we all experience those moments when that plan gets completely disrupted. And those objectives and those things that we have on that checklist are all of a sudden no longer the priority compared to some other things that happen in our lives. And some of those things can be very serious things, can't they? That could be anything from, like, we lost a job and now we're trying to figure out what we're going to do. Or we've applied to a job and we're waiting for to hear back. There was a moment where when I was a kid, I was applying for a bunch of jobs and it took forever to hear back. And that was so hard for me because I'm a person that just wants to get going and really get moving. Maybe for some of us, this is the first year that we are spending Christmas alone. or at least with certain people that aren't there like we've been used to. And that's a real one for many of us. We can all probably kind of fill in the blank on what that thing is that maybe we've experienced this past year in 2025. That disrupting thing that kind of stopped us in our tracks, and it was this jarring, jolting thing for us. When I was a kid, when I was five, I remember there was a moment where, you know, when I was with my parents, and I remember actually as a five-year-old, I was in the bath. Not that I'm going to get too descriptive about the bath, but I remember calling out for my mom and not hearing her. And I kept calling for her, like, "Mom, where are you? Mom, you know, Mom." And I didn't hear her, like, for a solid, like, 5 minutes. My mom did not respond to me in this moment. It felt like an eternity. And all of a sudden, as a five-year-old, you can imagine, I started to panic. I started to get kind of freaked out to the point where I'm thinking all these things in my head as a five-year-old, like, "Oh my gosh, my mom is gone. She's left me in the water." Like, all of these things. And I start screaming for my mom at the top of my lungs, like bloody murder, like, "Ah," you know. And all of a sudden, I'm like starting to cry hysterically. You know, I'm thinking my life is over somehow. And all of a sudden, finally, after like what I felt like was 20 minutes, it was probably like seven, my mom runs into the bathroom thinking that something happened, right? Like, because I'm screaming at the top of my lungs. And she thinks something's wrong with me, right? Like, what, what's going on? And I'm like crying hysterically. And I'm like, "You left me, you weren't here." And she's like, "What are you talking about?" You know, she's like, "I was on the phone." You know, she was in the back room, in her room on the phone, talking to somebody. So she didn't hear me, and she was busy. But that moment for me was, I still remember that, the feeling of that to this day, of like what could have been potentially this interruption, this life-altering moment in my life where I thought to myself, my life has changed forever. I don't know where mom is. I don't know what's going on in this moment. She didn't hear me. And these things become a reality for us at times when we have those moments where we start to ask the question. Now, as a five-year-old, I probably wasn't asking this question, but I think we do ask this really key question. Where are you in this moment, God? Where are you in this moment? Is this really what you had planned for me? Have you ever asked that? Like, maybe not to God directly, but you've asked that question. Like, is this all there is to my life? What is this, what meet, you know, all that meets the eye is just what's in front of me right now? It's crazy how when we go through these moments, even people who don't even necessarily have a faith system, who don't even believe that there is a God, start to ask these questions and actually start to pray. There are people that I know in my own family that have admitted to me that when they have been facing a crisis, they start to pray. Isn't that interesting? Because there's something built inside of us that has been wired a certain way to believe that there's more to life than just what's in front of us, and that in fact, there's more to even this life in the sense that God has set eternity in our hearts, that we believe there's more to this life and more to after this life than what is right in front of us. Well, just like any good story, this passage that we read this evening has two characters in particular that are going through almost the exact same situation. In any good story, right, we like to hear about the story of these people's lives, the characters' lives, and to develop those characters' story. If you've watched Star Wars, or if you've read the Chronicles of Narnia, or Lord of the Rings, like you name it, right? You get hooked into the story of the development of these characters and what they're going through and why. Well, in this story, we have two people that I think, aside from Jesus, are the main characters of the story that we're in, which is his parents, his earthly parents, which is Mary and Joseph. Now, we don't know a whole lot about them, especially Joseph. We do know some things about them, and I think that's intentional, but we do know enough that helps us understand the story of Jesus coming to earth. And we'll find that there are several paragraphs describing what took place, not just in like a couple hours, but like over months. If you've ever read the story of Jesus' birth in the Bible, we have just like a couple chapters, but those couple chapters actually span months. They span a long period of time. And if you think about it, we know a little bit, but there are so many things that happen in the story that we don't know necessarily, but we can assume some things. So I want to kind of break those down real quick as we dive into this story. Joseph and Mary were young. They were engaged, but they were young. Mary was probably around the age of like 13 to 15, and Joseph was probably like 17. And in this culture, in first century Palestine, this was very commonplace. Not only that, but parents got to decide who you married. Can you imagine? They actually did like each other and probably even loved each other, which is very, very rare. But nevertheless, this was not something where they were on a dating app or they went to the local synagogue and they were like, oh, hey, they didn't do that. They were probably arranged to be married by their parents. But they still did things by the book. We know that. We know that about both of them. They didn't stay out late. They didn't go to parties. There was no fooling around. There was no riding the camel up to the mountaintop so they can watch the sunset. There was none of that. Like I said, Mary was young, but she was well beyond her years. She actually had, can you imagine, a 13, 14-year-old who actually stopped to ponder things and think about her choices and reflect on her actions. Joseph was a man of honor. He did things right. He honored Mary. What's interesting about Joseph is he was a carpenter. He had a blue-collar job, and yet he was from the line of David, who was a king. So somewhere between David and Joseph, things broke down. He went from a lineage of royalty to now this blue-collar job making chairs. That was Joseph's job. So somewhere along the way, things broke down with Joseph's lineage, and yet he was an honorable man. So they were engaged. They planned to do things right, you know, wait till marriage to be intimate, plan for a family, maybe build a house, get ready for things to happen, have a family. And God was at the center of their life. They're making plans. And then all of a sudden, a curveball happens. One day, Mary is off by herself. She's having time alone with God. And the most special and all equally crazy encounter happens with God and Mary. It says that an angel comes and tells her, hey, guess what, Mary? You have been chosen. You've been chosen by God. And you are to give birth to a son. And she's like, wait. What? I'm going to do what? Hold on. No, like, you know, like, Joseph and I have plans, right? Like, you know that Joseph and I haven't even, you know, done the thing, and we're not even married yet, and that's not how it really works, right? And so she's confused at first. She's kind of bewildered by this, and the angel says, no. Mary, you don't get it. You will have a son. You are to conceive a child, but you will conceive, and it will be through the work of the Holy Spirit. Now you can imagine this little girl who loves God, who has followed all the laws, who has been obedient to God's ways, all of a sudden is interrupted. She's in love with Joseph. She's ready to be married. And she's thinking to herself, like, okay, this is a game changer. But as she stops to think about it, she's like, wow, God has chosen me? And now she's excited to go tell Joseph, right? So she's thinking about all the ways to go, how to break the news to Joseph. She has excitement, right? She's God's chosen. So she goes and she tells Joseph, I am pregnant. Now let's take a vote, okay? Do we think Joseph is going to be excited about this, or is he going to be freaking out? How many think excited? How many think freaking out? Yeah, he's freaking out, okay? He's not like, oh, wow, this is great. I wasn't a part of this, but this is great. No. These are real people with real dreams, real struggles, and real doubts. Now, we don't know how it all came about. We don't know, like, all the details, but we do know in verses 18 and 19, the polite way of saying is that things hit the fan, okay? So let's read together in verse 18. Let's look at this. It says that, now the birth of Jesus Christ took place in this way. When his mother Mary had been betrothed to Joseph, before they came together. Now, I don't think I need to interpret what that means for everybody, but it means that they had waited to be intimate, and it says she was found to be a child with the Holy Spirit. And the result is verse 19. It says her husband Joseph accepted all things. No, it doesn't say that. It says being just a man, unwilling to put her to shame, resolved to divorce her quietly. So what do we know? Dude is devastated, right? Joseph is beside himself. He's at his wit's end here. He doesn't know what to do. He's humiliated. He's brokenhearted. He's reading between the lines here. But he's also not believing Mary completely because he's resolved in his heart to divorce her quietly. You know, he's already thinking to himself, all right, I put down the deposit, non-refundable. How do I figure this out? You know, like, I got to go call the wedding cake person and cancel that order, right? He's starting to think about all these things. I got to tell my parents. What are they going to think? But it says that he believed that God had brought them together, and it says that he was going to bring honor to the situation. So even though they were engaged, he was going to do this quietly. Both of these people are young. They're grounded. They have the right heart, the right mind. They've said yes to God. And yet, in spite of all that, God throws a curveball into their life. They wrestled through this. Like, God, how could you do this? What's going on? And this is exactly where I think some of us are right now in our own lives. We've been trying to do things right. We've been trying to pay our bills on time, right? We've been trying to save up, keep money in the savings account, not overspend, trying to eat healthy, trying to, you know, do different things that we think are right, and yet somehow we feel like these interruptions are just things that we cannot get away from. And if you find yourself right in the crosshairs of life interrupted, you may be asking yourself, probably the same question that Joseph was asking himself as well. God, where are you? Maybe you've asked that question and you're currently asking that. And that's an honest reality for us to admit. And that's actually a good place to be. I've asked myself, I've been in that position many times. And I just want you to know one big idea tonight. Okay, we're not going to spend a ton of time, but I want to just propose one thought. One big idea for you to chew on this Christmas, especially as you wake up tomorrow and maybe open presents, pour your coffee, have breakfast, especially for those of you who maybe are experiencing a change of plans or life interrupted. You do not have to understand God's plan to trust his purpose. You do not have to understand the plan to trust God has a purpose for where you are at, even if it doesn't make sense. Joseph and Mary's plans were wrecked. At least they thought. They were ruined in their mind. Again, Joseph determines that, like, I have no choice but to divorce her. But then we see in verse 20 how this plays out. As he considered these things, behold, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream, saying, Joseph, son of David, do not fear. Do not fear to take Mary as your wife, for that which is conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. Wait, God, what she said is true? You mean it's not, she didn't cheat on me and I have to, like, figure this out? Correct. And 21 shows us the reason. Because it says, she will bear a son, and you shall call his name Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins. The name Jesus literally means salvation. And that's why he came. Sometimes God's greatest invitation to you and I feels like our worst interruptions. When something happens that's a crisis, we're like, oh my gosh, what am I going to do about this? And that may be the very thing that God wants to use to cause you to refocus and redirect what you are fixing your eyes and your heart on. Because he wants to reveal himself to you. And God often interrupts us and our plans with his own purpose. And the beauty of this whole story, this whole drama, is that Jesus coming to earth actually changes everything for each and every one of us, individually and collectively. I want to read John chapter 1 real quick, verses 9 to 13. It says this: "The true light that gives light to everyone was coming into the world. He was in the world, and though the world was made through him, it did not recognize him. He came to that which was his own, but his own did not receive him. Yet to all who did receive him, to those who believed in his name, he gave the right to become children of God. Children born not of natural descent, nor of human decision, or a husband's will, but born of God." That's why Jesus' purpose was to save you and I and to bring us life. If you've ever wondered what this whole thing was about when it comes to why we do church and why we have Christmas. Yes, presents are great. Presents are fun. We should enjoy life. But the ultimate reason is because Jesus hung on a tree, not decorated with lights and ornaments, but one that was filled with splinters and very uncomfortable, to the point that it took his life. So if you are one of those people who've had life interrupted, a change of plans, and maybe right now things are really difficult for you, and I'm not going to tell you that for a moment that your pain's not real and that your struggle is something to just kind of put to the wayside, because sometimes those hurts are real, and those are the things in the moment, even if we don't understand them, God uses them for his purpose. And he wants us to cry out, God, what's going on? What is up with this? And I'm going to tell you tonight, right now, that because of God's goodness, because of his sovereignty, you don't have to understand the plan to trust his purpose. Because there is a purpose with the things that we go through. So as we, on this Christmas, as we talk about the birth of Jesus, as we talk about why he came, understand, Mary and Joseph were people just like you and me. They were people that didn't have it all figured out. They had a plan, but they didn't have it all figured out. And I thank God that he had a purpose, and his purpose was you and me. So as we close, God's message to us is clear. Lay everything down before him and trust him. He saved you. He came so that you would know him and know life to the fullest. Acts 2, verse 36, Peter says this: "Therefore, let all Israel be assured of this, that God made this Jesus, whom you crucified, both Lord and Messiah." Messiah is a word that means chosen one. That means the one that comes to redeem all that is lost. So the good news is, you and I don't have to come to him and clean things up before we do that. I think a lot of times there's this misnomer that we have to kind of clean everything up and tidy everything up and figure our life out before we come to God and prove ourselves and earn our way towards him. And that's not the truth. That's not the good news that God shares with us, is that no matter where you're coming from, no matter what the mess looks like, no matter how interrupted the plan is, he says, come to me, all who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. Rest for your soul. Rest for your mind, for your heart. Because my yoke is easy and my burden is light. And in my 27 years of following Jesus, I gave my life to Christ when I was 13, a little 13-year-old boy, of all people. In my 27 years, that'll do the math on how old I am, I have never felt like God has disappointed me as I have trusted him and as I have followed after him and relied on him in his purposes. He has always shown up in his most perfect timing. And if you want that for yourself, all he calls you to do is to surrender and trust in who he is, in what he's done for us. And if you want to make that decision tonight, you have that time. You have that chance. In a minute, we're going to light a candle because what we do is, yes, we've lit this Christ candle, but we like to, out on Christmas Eve, everyone to light a candle together in a spirit of unity, in a spirit of togetherness, and raising that candle because we believe that Christ is the light of life. I'm going to pray here in a minute, and then I'm going to light a candle. Niece, will you give me a candle? I forgot mine. I'm going to light the candle myself, and then we're going to go down, and we're all going to just light our candles together as we stand and we respond in song. And we're going to finish the night singing O Holy Night. And afterwards, if you want to stick around and enjoy a cookie and enjoy some cider, we invite you to do that. But my hope and prayer to you as the pastor of the dwelling is that you would not go another day without having Jesus as the light of your life. Because he is faithful and just to show up in his most perfect timing, just as he sees fit. And so I'm going to pray, and then we are going to respond together. So God, thank you for this moment. Thank you for this place. Thank you for this time to just stop and pause. And God, some of us feel like life is completely interrupted in such a way that we have no idea which way to go, which way to turn, which decision to make, how we're going to even move forward. Some of us tonight, God, have lost significantly, whether that's a relationship, whether that's a significant person in our life, whether that's a job, whether that's purpose. Whatever the case may be, God, we know that you search our hearts, the deepest parts of our hearts, in only ways that you can. You see us, and even in our worst moments, you still love us. You still died for us. You still gave up everything so that we could have life and life to the fullest. So we thank you for that it could only happen through the cross and through your resurrection. We thank you for that, and we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. So I'm going to light my candle, and then we're going to light them together and sing a song. If you will stand with me, we are going to sing O Holy Night.